Welcome to Tough Podcast, Ultimate Football Fan Podcast. Sugar Free Lucas here with my boy, sports guy David, filling in for cooler than you, Joseph. How you doing, David?
I'm doing good, man. A crazy week. I wouldn't say crazy trade deadline. Kind of disappointed as a Charger fan, but it was all right. Pretty big players swapping teams, so let's get right into it, man.
Yeah, our week 8 review. A lot of trades, so we'll start off the podcast with that. Just a quick update, though. I ended up going 65-58 is my new record. I only got 7 games right this week. I tried to predict some different games correctly. The toughest one for me, I think, was probably the Giants and Seahawks. That was tough. Joseph ended up doing really good. He improves to 62-46. On the year, or sorry, 72-51. So he had 10 games correctly on the year. Joseph is obviously out right now. David's filling in. Before we get into our review, though, let's talk about the trades. 20 huge trades going on in the league. I think maybe the biggest one is Christian McCaffrey to the Niners. Talk about his impact in the game. Probably his arrival as a 49er. Bradley Chubb just go to the Dolphins. Calvin Ridley not even playing a game this year, and he's a Jaguar now. Roquan Swift is Smith is a Raven. T.J. Hawkins to the Vikings I like a lot. Chase Claypool to the Bears I like a lot. Kadarius Toney to the Chiefs, he's going to turn up as a Chief now all of a sudden. Robert Quinn, Naeem Hines, Jeff Wilson, James Robinson, Chase Edmonds, Zach Moss, William Jackson, Jacob Martin, Rashad Fenton, Jonathan Hankins, Robby Anderson, Deion Jones, and Dean Marlowe. That's 20 players here. I think even more were traded, but I think that might have been a record for the trade deadline. As a Charger fan, we're all disappointed that the Chargers have been stagnant. I think Packers fans are also disappointed that they didn't make a trade here. I think those are probably the two most disappointed fan bases right now in terms of the trade deadline inactivity.
Yeah, when it came to the Chargers, I was really hoping to Robert Woods. I mean, we're talking about it in the group chat. Claypool, Brad said that it was a little pricey for it. I believe it was a second or third round
pick for that. It was.
I probably wouldn't have paid for that, but I mean, Daniel Popper is just tweeting the wide receiver room. It was Jason Moore, Bandy. I don't know if it was Bandy and just a bunch of tight ends. Like, we are
Bandy and Jason Reed. Yeah, I mean, what the heck?
It's so bad how oblivious this management is. I'm finally seeing it. Before, I was just like, I'm too patient, you know, but like, it's bad. Like, they're just like, oh no, we're fine. Like, no, we're not fine when it comes to this. And same thing with the Green Bay Packers. Christian Watson was their, you know, bright star, and he got hurt. And then Dobbs looks like the guy. Alan Lazard is in and out of injury. Robert Tonya kind of picked it up towards the end of that game last week. They finally went to the run game, which actually worked for them, but not enough. But Green Bay Packer fans and Charger fans are for sure disappointed because Robert Woods, what was the asking price? What do you think the asking price was for Robert Woods, and what were you willing to pay for him as a Charger?
I wasn't really looking at Robert Woods. For me, it was Brandon Cooks or Elijah Moore.
Oh, not Robert Woods. I always mix those two up. Oh my God, I mean Brandon Cooks. Every single time I talk about Brandon Cooks, I bring up Robert Woods. Not Robert Woods. Brandon Cooks. Sorry. What's the asking price for Cooks, you think?
I think I think they were looking for the Texans, a fourth rounder, if I'm correctly. Maybe I would have traded a fourth. I would have traded a third. I think Brandon Cooks would have helped out a lot. We know Tom Telesco's not good with his third round picks anyway. And this is turning into a Charger podcast real quick, so I'll just have my thoughts on it. Like, he's missed his third round picks year in and year out, and this is at the point where, you know, this is just disappointing, like, to see this, how, like I said, oblivious or just lazy, or we really don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
I don't know what's going on either,
really. I think the one logical thing that we could just say that might be happening is that Spanos maybe talked to them behind closed doors and said, you guys are gone after this year. Don't even worry about making a move, and we'll let the new regime take care of everything going forward, because we don't want to mess with draft capital, whatever draft picks. We want them to have full control about our future. That seems to be the most logical thing, But I don't know, like Spanos just doesn't seem like he would do that, because I just, you know, we've seen the Raiders. Mark Davis had closed talks with McDaniels literally right after week two, after falling 0-2. I think it was like very early in the season. Like, I don't know if Spanos is like doing that. Regardless, it's disappointing because they've called this the all-in year. And like, we're going to week nine, which is the halfway point of the season. And you're just complacent with what you got. It's a testament to how they're just terrible at adjusting. And it's barely the halfway point, and this season seems cooked. But at the same time, the Chargers are still the seventh seed in the AFC. Going to the NFC, the Packers, I mean, yeah, Romeo Doubs finally got some. But, like, you know, if I think I would have traded for Claypool at that point. For me, Claypool trade to the Bears is an amazing trade, though. The last 2 weeks for Justin Fields have looked amazing. And even though they lost that game to the Cowboys, they're cooking something up here, I think, for the future, if not this year. Like, I don't think that this year will do anything. But we're seeing progress in Justin Fields, like the actual tangible progress to say, like, this guy has some stuff in these last 2 weeks. Like, I am impressed. Like, I was watching that Cowboys-Bears game, the closest game I watched this past weekend. And I was like, you see it here. He's making plays on the run, out of the pocket, regardless of his terrible O-line play. And he bombs it down the field sometimes, and sometimes the receivers just drop it. And it's like these crucial drops that'll happen early on in the second or third quarter. They carry so much weight in this Bears offense because they really don't have a good passing attack. So when they do get an opportunity like that and it falls through their fingertips, I think it was like a 40-yard bomb that would have gotten them a first and goal, that holds so much weight. And so, like, you just feel how much these plays just mean so much to that offense. So Claypool could do something. I'm very excited to see what he could do over there. Kadarius Toney, I said, is another one. Bradley Chubb to the Dolphins to help that defense is another good one. I'll talk about Christian McCaffrey more when we talk about that game, because that was just a great game. Naeem Hines to the Bills is an interesting one, because they were in that discussion for Christian McCaffrey. Naeem Hines is like a discount branded of Christian McCaffrey. He's always
the Christian McCaffrey at home.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put it. Just a guy out of the backfield, and I think they really needed something like that. But yeah, what about you? What about these trades here that you really like?
I did like the Bradley Chubb to the Dolphins, but I'm concerned about what the Broncos are doing here. I'm trying to find out his actual deal. I know is it 7 years or five? It's four. Four okay. years. I'm trying to figure out his thing, because they were going into the season like Olin as well. Like, they went to go get Russell Wilson, trade away the kitchen sink for him, but they trade away their best offensive or defensive asset. Only got, I think they got a next year's third or fourth, and then 2024 first. So they only get a first rounder next year, which I was just like a little puzzled, because I was like, are they rebuilding now? Like, I know they won last week. And that game, the announcers were selling the shit out of that game. Oh my God, it was so bad. I was high as a kite on a edible, just at 7 a.m, just straight chilling, blasted off, bro. Pause. And these announcers were selling it like, look at the fans are having so much fun, and it's cutting to a fan just there. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, they're trying to upsell this London. There was a lot of fans, you know, I get it, and they're trying to upsell it, but then, like, after the Broncos won, they're like, they're turning the ship around, this and this and that. I was just like, I think it was the Jaguars game to lose, and I think, like, they would have said the same thing about the Jaguars. So the whole narrative of that whole game was just like, okay, calm the fuck down. Russell Wilson is still not that great. The running situation is little, even though they did get Chase Edmonds, which I think line up the load for Gordon now that Boone is out. But that whole narrative was weird in general. Just like a quick review, I was just like, I mean, like, they're trying to upsell it, but to the Dolphins, I mean, in a division with teams that are like, the Jets are good now, the Patriots, and then the Bills, like, is that the most stacked division in the league now? Like, We thought it was the AFC West, and the AFC West looks like the complete opposite, which is funny going into the season. But you're going to need, if you got Melvin Ingram, who's been having a good season, and Chubb on the other side, and those corners stay healthy, it gives Tua an easier ride to win because, you know, those defense, he's going to be on the field more. And if he has his defense playing great, could get him in good positions, I think that really does make a big difference. That's my favorite trade also because I'm a Charger fan and the Broncos get rid of him, so we don't have to see him when we verse him later in the year. So I was like, cool. The Himes for Zach Moss, just a switcheroo-ski. I was like, okay, I kind of see it, but they got James Cook, Singletary, so I was just like, they're just trying to get more dynamic. I get it. But the one I was mostly surprised about that blew my tits off was the TJ Hockenson trade.
I'm glad you're talking about that.
That shit. Okay, when the Lions start off super strong, first four games they're in it. Now they're looking like the Lions, 1-6. But I'm still a strong believer in Lamar Jackson going to Detroit. I don't know if you hear me on my fantasy podcast. I always talk about Lamar Jackson going to Detroit, and he's gonna cure all the Grand Theft Auto. The Grand Theft Auto rates are gonna fucking go down once Lamar Jackson gets there. That's for the culture. Pistons will win a fucking championship, and the fucking if the Detroit Red Wings, the Detroit Red Wings will win. I don't know nothing about hockey, but I think that's the team.
Lamar Jackson is gonna be so impactful. He's gonna impact other sports.
Yes. So I thought TJ Hockenson was their dude. Like, that's the guy. And then you got J-Mo chilling on the. I think he's coming back from the IR pretty soon. You know, he's just a gem waiting to get off. And you got Amon St. Ra, you got DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, who Jamal Williams looks like an RB1 on any other team. So, and then you got Jared Goff, who, I mean, he's still young. He got to a Super Bowl, but if you get Lamar Jackson, then he could just be he'll just become like Nick Foles and be a backup everywhere. They just need some help on the defense, you know? So I was like, okay, like the Lions gonna have a bad year, it looks like. They'll get a first round draft pick. Then they went to go trade, I think, their best asset right behind Amon Ra St. Brown. And I was like, damn it, the Vikings, like, they're just stacking more. Like, Irv Smith is gonna be out for a little bit, and they're like, fuck it, throw him in there. I think his value goes a little bit down, but overall as a team, like fantasy wise, overall as a team though, the Vikings just become so more dynamic because Alexander Mattison's running the ball great in place of Dalvin Cook when he's on the sideline or hurt. And then how are you going to guard Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen? Like, Vikings are 6-1 too. The very quiet 6-1, let me say that. Very quiet. But I'm not concerned they're going to go far, even though they have a 3.5 game lead in the division. But when it comes to prime time, Kirk Cousins is going to have to step up in prime time, because with that roster now, you have no excuse. The Vikings are dangerous. I mean, now they actually look 6-1. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, before, I'm like, ah, oh, they're not 6-1. But if you told me TJ Hockenson was on that team in the beginning of the year and they're 6-1, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. So it kind of justifies their record, which is weird to say because they're 6-1, which is weird to say also. But the Green Bay Packers, man, they are hurting. Aaron Rodgers, oh, man, he looks fucking pissed, bro. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, you got the money, but you're going to be stressed out every single day? Like, that fool is stressing. His hair is popping out of his hat. He fucking looks, he's aging by the week. I never seen someone age so fast. Maybe Tom Brady's right behind him. But it looks like these old guys are out the door and these new guys are in. I mean, like, out now. Like, Tom Brady's struggling hard. His biggest highlight of the year was his divorce. That's been his biggest highlight the whole year. Like, look up Tom Brady highlights. It's not much. So those are the three. I was like, wow, that's pretty surprising. There's a couple other ones. The Steelers got a corner, I believe. Let me open the tweet you sent me.
They got a
Robert Quinn. Like, the Eagles are. I wish that the Chargers were like the Eagles, aggressive how the Eagles are. They got Robert Quinn. Just like, fuck it, this is loaded up, dude. They just been loading up this whole year. AJ Brown, I don't know, I guess we could go into review. That's the first game I want to talk about. Any other big not any two big names? Jeff Wilson to the Dolphins though, I do like that. I mean, he has ties with the running backs there and the coaching there, so I think the Dolphins win and the Eagles win this trade deadline. I'm going to go with the 49ers as well with Christian McCaffrey. And then I'll probably go with the Vikings. Those are my top three. But I do want to talk about the Eagles. Did you see – you've seen that game, right?
No, I didn't, you didn't? I didn't really see that game. No, not at all.
Oh, fuck. A.J. Brown had three touchdowns.
Well, I saw those. Man, he was talking. Yeah.
Two of them looked exactly the same. I thought it was exactly the same. It was to the right corner, double teamed both times. I don't know if it was the same player or not. Same route, same fucking angle. And when I was watching them, I was like, why'd they play it again? And the announcer was like, oh, we're not playing replay. It's the same thing. AJ Brown is just that dude. They traded draft capital for this guy. You got Robert Quinn. Eagles lay down the wood. Like, the Eagles are my front runners for the NFC. Maybe even Super Bowl, because they got defense and offense, every position. Miles Sanders is healthy, which I love to see, and he's having a game. You know, they have Gainwell too back there, and then you got Devontae Smith, who is the size of a short king, but could play like Randy Moss. That shit's insane. And then their defense just stacked. Like, the Eagles are the front runners right now, undefeated as they should. Even though the opponents weren't the greatest, still they laid it down good. I think the Eagles impressed me the most with AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts, bro. Four touchdowns. Like, who's beating the Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles just play the most consistent football, the most consistent product this year in the NFL. I don't remember seeing a team being this consistent year in and year out. I mean, in the past years, to be honest, week in and week out, like, you don't find holes in their game, really. I'm loving what I'm seeing all year from Jalen Hurts, and just, yeah, you said this whole offense, AJ Brown having that big game, like, anyone could really go off in this team, you know, week in and week out, because it hasn't always been like an AJ Brown game or a Miles Sanders game. Like, they usually find someone to step up big. Their defense is always harassing the quarterback. Kenny Pickett gets sacked six times for 40 yards. Pickett's just struggling, man. I don't think we're gonna see, like,
they threw him in the fire too quick. When they threw him in, they had the hardest stretch of the schedule, what he's on right now. I know what they're doing with Trubisky, you know, like, let's see how far Trubisky could take us, fuck it. But honestly, I think that they bit themselves in the ass, because Kenny Pickett's going through a very hard part of the schedule. But that's also a good thing, because let me tell you a quick story. I'm a cook. There's no training. I don't know, wherever job you work at, you get proper training. There is no training. There is no training. You get thrown on the line. You learn on as you go. So that's one thing I like about this. Kenny Pickett is gonna learn. Fuck, like Justin Herbert, his first year, he was the best thrown under passer under pressure, because he was so pressured so much. You know, now he got time. If his receivers are healthy, he makes some plays. So Kenny Pickett, this is, you got to struggle to get better, and it's gonna be a hard time. All the Steelers fans already accepted they're not going to do good. My chef, I can't even talk shit anymore, because he'll just nod his hand and be like, yeah, I know. I'm like, fuck, I can't even talk shit. But no. Like, he's going to struggle, but he's going to learn from that. Throwing picks, he's going to know, okay, I'm not going to make that play. I'm not going to make that play. He's not taking L's. He's taking lessons. That's what I say in life. And he's going to take a lot of lessons this year. Next year, he's going to probably have comeback player of the year. Najee Harris, they're saying Najee Harris is like,
Najee Harris is concerned about his really weight. Bad. Like, well, I haven't heard that. He has a rush
for 7 yards, more than 70 yards.
Daniel Jones has more rushing yards than him.
You mean Vanilla Vic? Don't put some respect on my boy. It's Vanilla Vic.
I'm putting respect on him. I just said he had more rushing yards. Vanilla Vic, I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Steven and the Giants, that's his nickname there. Okay. I'm trying to coin it for him, you know.
Well, but like, Najee just looked bad in this game as well. Like, I saw this one highlight that's going around the circles where he got a ball in the flat with a touchdown pass, and just go forward, you know.
He didn't get 1 yard.
Not 1 yard, you know. And just what is going on here? I understand the reasoning behind training trades Claypool now. Like, you go from this game and you're like, oh man, like, there's just no point in this offense really at this point to even survive. I mean, Pittsburgh is just going through complete turmoil right now. And I just don't see how they're going to turn it around. So even with like an acquisition of the cornerback position, like you just get burned for 3 touchdowns and 156 by AJ Brown. You're like, oh, let's go get a new corner. But like, it seems like to be lost. That's all my takeaway is from this game. I mean, what else can you say about these two teams that we haven't said enough on this whole season?
Yeah, the Steelers, I thought Najee was going to have a good year. The offensive line is not up to par, not even close. One of the worst. It kind of reminds me of the Bears. Kenny Pickett, still young, making mistakes. He's kind of going for it in a hard position. Like, look at the teams he had averse. It's just like, damn, like, how are you supposed to succeed like that? But I think soon, like I said, I think he could win comeback player of the year next year. He's going to learn from those mistakes. And if Mike Tomlin is still there, which there's rumors that if they go under 500 and he breaks his lifelong streak of going over 500, he's out of there. Maybe taking the Saints job. Hopefully the Chargers job. We don't have to talk about that. I just want Mike Tomlin on the field making sound bites, either in the booth, on the field, somewhere. I need him to be analysis somewhere. I don't care. I need Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin needs football. Football needs Mike Tomlin. But in the Eagles, man, like, how are you going to stop him? Who's okay? Say the Vikings Eagles primetime conference championship. Eagles 100%. Kirk Cousins in primetime. I don't like following narratives, but sometimes I do, and that is the most accurate one so far. Duke can't win in primetime, especially against the Eagles defense. Like, how you? I don't see how someone wins them. I don't even know their schedule. I think they have like one of the softest schedules moving forward too. So like, good luck if you versus the Eagles, because I'm not saying undefeated, because it's a very long season. They already had their bye. So I don't know how people feel about early buys, late buys. Some teams are taking buys in week 14. That's way too fucking long. I like this area, 8-9, like where the Chargers had. But they already had their bye. So it's just full steam ahead, man. The Eagles are dangerous.
They have yet to play the Giants yet in their division. So they face them in week 14 and then week 18 to close out the season. So those are going to be like the biggest battles, I think, left on the schedule. We'll see where Tennessee is at, because they're like another quiet, positive team right now that's figuring things out.
How quiet are they?
They are very quiet. They are, if I could pull up the record.
Oh, yeah, they won the Texans.
1, 2.
Oh, they're 5-2.
5-2, yeah. So, yeah.
Malik Willis. Didn't do jack shit.
We'll see. Yeah, I know. But they still gave Derrick Henry the ball a million times. He had over 200 yards.
Jesus Christ, 32 times.
But the next game I want to talk about is the Bears and Cowboys. And I just want to talk about it more just because I like just about Justin Fields, man. Like, this game was a game where the Bears imploded, where they just gave the ball away on key plays and just got themselves out of it. By halftime, it was 28-17 Dallas. Dallas had the ball 4 times in the first half, got a touchdown each and every drive. 4 drives, 4 touchdowns, opened it up. Tony Pollard was just running all over this team. But also, the Bears have just found their formula on how to run the ball as well. Khalil Herbert is a beast, and so is David Montgomery. That's a really good one, too, that's been running the ball very well. And so when things started off in the second half, they got a 3-and-out from – they forced a 3-and-out. They got a touchdown, so it was 28-23. Dallas gets a touchdown, 35-23. But then this is what happens – They start driving, and then they fumble the ball, the Bears do. They get the ball back, fortunately, and then they get another touchdown. And then you think that they're making it close, but then they turn it over on downs on another drive. And it's like, and that's another drive where they were driving downfield as well. Like, you just see the flashes. That's why I love this Chase Claypool trade, because I think it's going to really help Justin Fields. It's going to take a little bit to gain some, familiarity with the playbook and then just develop chemistry with their quarterback. But this is also kind of a long-term trade. So I like what the Bears have done. I mean, running all over this Dallas defense, like how they did. This is a good Dallas defense. This is a good Dallas front. It was very impressive to me. Then going to give Dallas credit, yes, you took a hard punch from a team that's kind of like on a roll right now, and that's a good thing to see where Dak Prescott's at. This is week 8. For everyone else, this is like week 2, week 3 for Dak Prescott. So everyone is in midseason form. So like, having Dak Prescott coming away with another victory and then just keep developing chemistry with his receivers, it's hard just because CeeDee Lamb is the only guy you're really, really used to. Maybe Michael Gallup. but like all these other guys just haven't been, you know, what he's been used to seeing. You still can't believe that Amari Cooper is gone for what he's been, you know, been able to do in Cleveland and what they gave up for him. But Tony Pollard is, I mean, how many times is anyone to be able to say that he's the clear better running back than Zeke Elliott? 14 carries for 131 yards and 3 touchdowns, man. Like, he's just much more faster, much more explosive. His cuts are nicer. He sees the field better. They just seem to block better for him. This is just really, I'm just impressed by the Dallas Cowboys. Like, maybe this is a team that could give the Eagles a run for their money, another NFC East team. Because sometimes I feel like with the Eagles, like, they have to control the clock. They have to control the tempo. That is definitely their game plan, their game style. A team like Dallas, if they could get like some explosive plays like how they did in this one out of Tony Pollard, and maybe just if they could find some explosive plays in the passing field, because they only had a really long ball, one for 30 yards in this one. If they could get more of a threat through the air deep, I think that's the recipe to beat the Eagles. You know, make them a little bit uncomfortable with their pace and their tempo. You know, they seem like that. If I had to compare it to another sport, like the San Antonio Spurs, when they had their big three, Tony Parker and Duncan and Ginobili, like they play just, you know, to their strength, like slow, but they pass the ball around and they control things. That is the Eagles, but, you know, get them uncomfortable. Maybe Dallas has something here.
So I've been watching a lot of Bears games because they're on primetime for some reason, and the Cowboys too. So I'm going to go with the Bears first. So you're real high on Justin Fields. I'm impressed, but maybe not as impressed as you are. The first 4 or 5 games was
bad,
absolutely,
yeah,
dog shit. Getting used to Eberflus's new offense, I get it all. And the receivers were dropping a lot of passes. Darnell Mooney's kind of opening up. Tight ends, you got the running backs. So I am impressed with Justin Fields' progress. As a team, defensively, they're still going to be pretty rock solid. I think there's a stat every time Eddie Jackson gets an interception, they win, besides when they intercepted Mac Jones or the Patriots game. That's the only exception. Like, when it's some weird with Eddie Jackson. That dude's always, I'm a big fan of him. That dude always gets a two pick sixes each year. That dude's solid as hell. I am impressed though of what he could do, especially against a defense like this, because their defense is one of the best.
Justin
in the Fields league.
Running the ball is like what's been the key to helping him be a better.
Yes, it's been helping him. There's some times where he's a little bit run first, when I feel like he has open pocket, kind of like Jalen Hurts in year one. So he could be a miniature version of Jalen Hurts, I could see. Maybe with Claypool, that'll open up Darnell Mooney in the long pass and the long ball, and then you got a run game. So I'm excited where it's going, because it was going pretty bad and I thought it was going to be bad for all year, but each game statistically, and if you watch the game, are getting better and better and better. Running, throwing, pass completions, pass attempts. So it's just getting better and better. I just think the offensive line is his biggest issue here. If he had a solid offensive line, I think he would be a top 20 quarterback. So I am impressed. You're really impressed. I've watched a lot of Bears games. I don't know why. And when it comes to the Cowboys, I think the Cowboys are a little bit defensive reliant. And if you just look at the numbers, especially this game with the run game and Dak Prescott, like, you're going to see like, oh, the offense is pretty solid, but like, they had Cooper Kupp for what, 4 games, and he went undefeated, besides one, I believe, right? He went 4-1. He lost to the Eagles, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Their defense puts them in some really nice spots. I don't want to take away from the Cowboys' offense, but that defense has a lot to do with these wins, positioning, just their presence on the field, having the you know, their offense off the field longer. I think all those play a big part, but I do got to give credit where credit is due. Tony Pollard is a better running back. He's not, everyone thinks he is a better runner back. I have seen some flashes from Zeke though, but I don't know if I told you, make Zeke a fullback. He will be the best fullback in the league. Best fullback in the league. And have both those on the field, you could run fullback draws all day. You will be probably the best running attack in the league if you move Zeke to fullback. Just have him blocking more and just he's just a bigger body. And Tony Pollard, his cuts, his speed, he's just, he got the juice. I think he got he got the sauce. Zeke got the juice. You already know the analogy. But yeah, the Cowboys' offense is pretty solid. Dak Prescott is just going to get better and better each week. He did have a rushing touchdown as well. So, you know, moving those legs, kind of getting loose, because this year's injury was wrist? Was it wrist?
Yeah. Yeah. But and he kind of shook it up a little bit, his other hand, this game.
Yeah, and last year we know it was his foot, his fucking ankle that broke in half. That shit was wild. So I do like seeing that mobility from him. And, you know, he's going to get used to it. Like you said, this is week two for him. So I think Cowboys offense is just going to get better. And if the defense stays as hot they are, they could potentially give the Eagles a problem. But the receivers, you know, CD, Gallup, Schultz, you know, they got Ferguson, the backup tight end, who caught one pass for a touchdown. I think there has to just be one more guy in there that could really spread that offense. I wish it was Amari Cooper, but you know, he's a Brown now. So if Amari Cooper was there right now, they would be pretty solid. But I'm impressed with both the Bears, who upsetted the Patriots, and even with this loss, there's a mini victory here for Justin Fields.
Yeah, after giving up four touchdowns in the first half, they gave up only two offensive touchdowns in the second half. So, like, they were right there to almost make that comeback.
Just clean up some mistakes.
Yeah.
Let's see. I did like the San Francisco 49er and Rams game.
Yeah.
Joseph, my guy.
He was at the game.
Rams ain't winning the 49ers in regular season, my guy. It's just not fucking happening. It's Cooper Kupp now has an injury, but Christian McCaffrey, dog, last person. I know you know this stat. I knew this stat before anyone talked about it. I told every fucking person around me.
Yeah.
Last person to throw for a touchdown, pass for a touchdown, and receive and rush for a touchdown was in 2005 by your one and only LT. LT, if I'm not mistaken, did it three times in his career.
Might have been against the Raiders. Oh wow, three times in his career.
He's done it more than once. It was the sand. I think I called it the Sandlot game because the Raiders were playing on a shitty baseball field. I think that was one of them. The only person else to do that, I believe, is Barry Sanders. Also did that. Walter Payton. Is it Walter Payton? Barry Sanders. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, Bob Money. Welcome back, by the way. I haven't seen Bob Money in a while. 49ers own the Rams. I mean, without Debo, and they still got it done, and Christian McCaffrey, the aggressiveness to get the best running back in the best running system in the NFL, I mean, it's a picture-perfect thing. And Matthew Stafford, Cam Akers, I believe, is – I don't know what his situation is. Is it like a – I think it's a mental health issue, or
– they're both, like, disconnected right now. Like, they both just don't want to – work for each other, you know, work with each other. So that's just like a bad relationship they got going on. But like for the 49ers, I just want to say this, like for Christian McCaffrey, for all that he'd done, the three touchdowns that he had, pass, running, and receiving, I think the thing that's really flying under the radar with a lot of people that talking about this is the fact that how it just makes Jimmy G's job look so much easier. I mean, Jimmy G looked like a really solid quarterback in this game. And the fact that they got a touchdown to George Kittle again. You know, last week was National Tight End Day, and that's like the only time he shows up. But like George Kittle a couple years ago was in contention to say, is he a better tight end than Travis Kelce? He's fallen off that conversation. You know, it's not near that. But now if he could just get this chemistry and this offense going, George Kittle is really the key to keeping this offense elite. And keeping this offense, you know, steady. If they get Debo Samuel back, there's like a big three in this offense all of a sudden. So,
and Brandon Ayuk has been stepping up too.
Exactly. So with McCaffrey's presence, making Jimmy G's connection to his receivers, and most importantly, George Kittle better, very excited for what the 49ers could do. I totally could see them going to the Super Bowl, even though they're only 4-4, because it is just that type of thing where it just has such a butterfly effect on the offense, where it just makes things so much smoother. And if it's that easy for Jimmy G, then you know, oh my God, just write him in for the NFC Championship.
The 49ers This is insane. Jimmy Garoppolo threw 21 for 25, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey had more touches than Jimmy Garoppolo had pass attempts. He had 27 touches on the ball, 18 on the ground, 8 through the air, and 1 passing it, equals up to 27. Jimmy Garoppolo threw the ball 25 times. Brandon Ayuk, 6 receptions, 81 yards. And then you got Kittle. He only had 3 receptions for 39 yards. But you take away Jeff Wilson from this offense. He only had 4 carries and 2 catches. That's 6 touches going to someone else. And that's with Debo not even being there.
Right.
Like they're 4-4. They even it up. They even up their record. Rams, are you concerned? We should have drafted McCaffrey instead of Solomon Thomas in the draft. Yeah, that's true. Probably a lot of people should have drafted McCaffrey or even traded up to him. Are the Rams in big trouble? And I wish Joseph was here because I feel like when it comes to the Rams, he's a little biased. Don't blame you. I'm extremely biased. And I tried to tell him last time. I was like, dog, like the 49ers just defensively like gets it done. I know Van Jefferson had a big play, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. I didn't even get to see the Rams stats. Their leading running back was Ronnie Rivers. Van Jefferson didn't have shit in this game. It was probably another game. Allen Robinson, you know, had 54 yards. Cooper Kupp had 59 on 8 receptions. Like, the offense seems bland to me. Kind of like no salt. Like a oven-baked chicken from a white person. Like, that's how bland this fucking offense is to me. And the 49ers got so much. They got pepper. They got garlic. They got fucking pink Himalayan Hawaiian salt everywhere in this offense. And the Rams are coming off bland in the way the Seahawks are playing. And what's the other team in that division?
Well, Cardinals, if they could figure things out.
Cardinals ain't going to figure shit out. It's just Murray to D-Hop, and that's it. Literally, that's it.
I think Bob Money hits it right on the money with his corner right here. Rams' problem is they don't have a proven left tackle. Andrew Whitworth retired. The defensive line has one dude. That's Aaron Donald. He's going to get doubled every time. There's no more Von Miller. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely exactly what the problem is here. You have no one else stepping up besides Von Miller. Leonard Floyd had 2 sacks in the first half, and the score is, what, 14-7 or 14-10 at the end of the half in favor of the Rams. You think, oh, my God, like, did they finally find something here on defense to step things up and make things easier for Aaron Donald? They lost some interior help in the offseason that was really a big help in Aaron Donald's game. And it's not consistent enough. The 49ers made some halftime adjustments. The Rams just cannot figure things out on the offensive line at all. Like, they can't even run the ball, you know? And no one in this team is getting carries. They should have been one of the teams trading for a running back, to be honest. Who is this guy, Rivers, with 8 carries for 21 yards? What? Darnell Henderson, 4 carries for 16 yards? They had 21 carries for 56 as a team. Like, no one in this offense is convincing, and Matthew Stafford's struggling. And, you know, historically, when the offensive line performs bad, like, the quarterback plays bad in this McVay offense. Like, we saw it with Jared Goff. Jared Goff, in his first couple of seasons, like, we thought he was a second coming of somebody, you know, and that was when he had really good protection. In his down years, he actually had really worse protection that's on par for even Stafford's protection. Actually, Stafford's having worse protection than what Jared Goff has had. So there's no surprise to what's going on here, especially with an aging quarterback and a quarterback that maybe is dealing with injury problems. Like, he had some stuff going on early in the year with his shoulder. The Rams are a team that I'm very concerned about, because when they were first getting blown out earlier and out of sorts, like, we thought maybe it was like a slump from the Super Bowl or just them looking slow at the gate, and that's how a lot of teams look out in week one. But now this is a consistent problem to where, like, we just think that I don't know what it's going to take to figure things out. What are you going to just chuck it to Cooper Kupp every time? Allen Robinson has just been another guy on this roster. He hasn't been filling up a role and being a true wide receiver too.
He's injured now.
Well, then what the hell? You know what I'm talking about?
Allen Robinson has been slacking. Is Schwarznick or whatever his name going to – I can't pronounce his name.
Skowronek?
Tyler. No. Skowronek or Tyler Higbee? I mean, he's a tight end. You know, he can only do so much. Rams are looking very concerned. On a scale of 1 through 10, how concerned are you with the Rams sitting at 3-4, third in the division right now?
10. 10. You got overran by 49er fans again after winning a Super Bowl.
Get the fuck out of here. I'm so glad the narrative has changed for the Chargers, because we fucking do show up. I'm so glad we don't have to defend that issue. Now it's a Rams issue. 49ers travel so goddamn well, and it was red. It was a sea of red. The narrative has switched, so I'm so glad that has. Rams fan, their colors, don't get me started with their jerseys are shit. Their new logo is shit. Should have stayed in St. Louis and listened to Nelly. Fuck out of here. Rams are in big trouble. I agree with you. I would agree with you at 10.
Okay. I'm going to go to the Giants versus the Seahawks. I think this was the only matchup with two winning teams this weekend. Something like that. It was ridiculous. Look, the Giants 6-2. That's fine. You know, you take an L, and some of these wins have come from miracle plays at the last second, right at the goal line. But you know, it was consistent enough to get you here. But 20 carries for 53 yards for Saquon, you got to get him over 100. But 20 carries is a healthy amount, you know, a healthy amount of touches. So I'm just very impressed by what Seattle was able to do to stop him. Considering, especially, Seattle has not been a good running team overall, a running defense overall this whole season. But these past couple weeks have proven to me that they have had some really improvement in that game, some growth. They have had players in the right position, stopping a dynamic duo in the Giants, because Daniel Jones had over 100 rushing yards last week, and it was him and Saquon going for over 200 combined on the ground, and that's definitely their recipe for success on how to move the ball and get things going on offense. And so the fact that Seattle has really proven to be an impressive team on just learning and adapting throughout the season, dealing with injuries and stuff like that, even quick turnaround on injury as far as like DK Metcalf coming back, and DK talking about Geno Smith's leadership on this team. And I said it when the Chargers played the Seahawks, that the Chargers unlocked swaggy Geno Smith, because he was talking shit that game, and Geno Smith deserved all of it. He's the top quarterback in the NFC right now, an NFC that has Tom Brady still, an NFC that still has Aaron Rodgers. He's the best one statistically in that one. And I mean, I'm so proud of him, and he's leading his team to some great victories. And this is a huge one here, sitting at 5-3. Who would have thought that the Seahawks would be the best team in the NFC West right now? They didn't even need a huge game from Kenneth Walker, really. What else can I say about this? It's a Geno Smith-led team. Tyler Lockett had a dropped touchdown pass in this one, and Geno Smith comes and like tells him, "Nah, it's all good." And then he gets back and he gets another 33-yard touchdown. I mean, this is a good coach team. I mean, even the defense is starting to turn things around. I'm liking it.
Yeah. Seahawks win total was over under 4.5. So they already got it. Yeah. I was on that train. I was like, there's no way the Seahawks are going to win. They're going to win 5 or 6 at the end of the season, not through week 8. They win 5. This defense ain't the greatest, but it gets it done. It's not the Legion Boom. It's the Legion of Doom for themselves. But Geno Smith being accurate, getting the throws where they needs to be, like DK Metcalf played, which took away Marcus Goodwin for me, who I played in my flex and I lost on a 3-game losing streak fantasy. I'll complain about that in my other podcast. But he just does the right things. And Kenneth Walker, you said it yourself, he didn't even need a big game, but he is very capable of it, as you've seen versus the Chargers. And the Giants, I'm actually extremely surprised that they're 6-3 when you break down their injuries and their wide receiver room. Let's play a game. Guys I went to high school with or wide receivers on the Giants. Let's go with Tanner Hudson. Chris Myrick, Marcus Johnson, Lawrence Cager, David Seals. I kind of already knew about David Seals. Wandell Robinson, I knew about him, and Darius Slayton, you already know about him too. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different receivers with at least a target. I don't blame Daniel Jones for only going 17-31 for 176 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. I was hoping they were going to trade for a wide receiver. They just have been getting the injury bug at wide receiver. Galladay fucking, I don't even know if he's even playing anymore, or they just benched him and he's the most expensive asset on their team. Who someone tore their ACL against the Cowboys in that primetime game. So the fact that they're 6-3 or 6-2 right now is amazing. And I feel like they should have went to go get Woods or Claypool. Cooks. Why do I say Woods? Why? I don't know why. Maybe the two O's. I'm dyslexic. Maybe the two O's in both names. But yeah, the Seahawks are rolling right now, and the fact that they're in first place is blowing my mind. And the fact that the Rams are third, I thought they would definitely be flip-flopped at the very least. But they're doing Geno. He ain't right back.
For the Giants, right back, like so, this, I just worry like that this is one of those Geno's things. Well, hold on. For the Giants, I just think that this is like one of those things where it's like the turning point for the season where, like, yeah, we see their limitations. Like, they may have reached their ceiling. They peaked in high school, like you said. I could totally see the rest of the season just going downhill if they don't get things back rolling again. Like, they got enough touches to Saquon. They had Daniel Jones, like, going back and rushing it a couple times as well. This is like a blueprint for them to, like, fail, you know, for the rest of the season and how to play them. I don't know. I could just totally see this being the last time we think of the Giants very seriously until next year.
If they get their run game going, regardless on who's catching the ball, they'll be there. They just got to get Daniel Jones and Saquon in there, get some play action. I think they could maybe get in the double digits. This really opened my eyes. Like, damn, they have no receivers. They have fucking no one. Darius Slay and Wandale Robinson are the only two guys you probably knew on that list I told you. It's tough, but I think they'll find a way in a division where Eagles and Cowboys, we just got done talking about them. It's going to be, that division is actually getting pretty interesting. So a game I definitely want to talk about is the Panthers and Falcons. Holy shit, this game was insane. Don't get too cocky, because they'll bite you right in the ass. PJ Walker, bro. Or should I say Phillip Walker? Now that he's a starter on Price Picks, they have his full name, Phillip, on there. And I was like, who the fuck is Phillip Walker? Phillip Walker of the now 2-6 Panthers lost to the Atlanta Falcons by 3 points in overtime. It was, I don't know if time was winding down. I'm not exactly sure, but PJ Walker just loaded that bitch up from
it was his like 20 own, seconds left.
His own 38 or some insane, like, fucking just loaded that bitch up and placed it perfectly in the breadbasket over the shoulder to DJ Moore. DJ Moore took his help. DJ Moore also caught 152 yards on 6 receptions and a touchdown, averaging about 25 yards a catch. Yo, chill. What the fuck? That is insane. So he took his helmet off, jumped in the stands, getting all crazy. A penalty occurred of sportsmanlike conduct or whatever. Pushes back the extra point, misses the extra point. They go into overtime. They get the, I believe it's an interception or fumble. They're right there. Miss a field goal again. Yikes. Oh, my God. And then the Falcons come, march down, and get the game winner. And it's just heartbreaking because the Panthers, they upset the Buccaneers. They had this momentum. Baker, all the quarterbacks are healthy, and they're still going. Walker, I love that because he started in the AAFL, whatever fucking X Games fucking league mate, whatever fuck shit before COVID. And look at him now. He's a starter on the team. And the coach, I feel like, is just, he's an interim coach for a reason, you know. And I'm surprised they didn't trade Brian Burns. I guess the team was offering at least a, I think the Rams were offering at least a first. But
I can't believe it.
I was like, how the fuck, like 2028 first round pick? They traded all them for like the next 6 years, so like that's probably why they denied it. Panthers are looking not good, but there's some life there. I mean, maybe getting rid of Robbie Anderson and not starting Baker Mayfield is like a little spark for them, like the Raiders when they hired their special teams coach as the interim coach. Like, it's kind of like, you know, they lost, but you know, there's a little battle here. You know, PJ Walker is looking good. I think defensively they could step. Oh, CJ Henderson got the interception on Mariota because they traded for him. I remember that. Yeah, sorry, that just came to my mind. I had to say it. But the Panthers probably not gonna get 6 wins this year. You got some draft capital. Move on. Falcons, they needed this win to stay. I think they're in first place actually in that division. Get Patterson back in the lineup, and who knows, you might fuck around and win the division.
Yeah, usually the recipe for the downfall for the Falcons is Marcus Mariota throwing those picks, and it really almost just happened. Like you said, that was lucky. It was a missed field goal and a missed extra point. In this one, you also have Huntley going for almost 100, and Kyle Pitts is probably the biggest takeaway in this one, where he finally gets more than 19 yards. He ended up with 5 receptions for 80 and a touchdown. Like that's good to see that he finally being unlocked. We're still waiting for a 100-yard game from him. I want to see a double 100-yard game where Drake London and Kyle Pitts both go off. With 3 touchdowns through the air for Mariota, you would think that it would have been one of those type of games. Because there's just so much locked potential here in Atlanta. So they still get 37 points, but still, there is just not a really good, strong feeling about this team. We all see why, and it's really the quarterback play. As far as Carolina, you had a 100-yard receiver and a 100-yard rusher on the ground and still just didn't get things done. It's just a sad one, especially the way things are falling out. Like, let's just move on.
Yeah. Go right.
All right. Let's do, what do I want to go? Let's just talk Packers Bills real quick. Just the Bills, they just looked really, really good. They're just the most, another consistent team in football. You're not going to stop Josh Allen, even when he has 2 picks. He still doesn't need it. I just love the fact that Stephon Diggs and Jair Alexander were barking, like talking shit before the game. And
there's only one tunnel in that stadium.
Oh, okay. I was wondering how that even started.
Yeah, it was only one tunnel, and they were just fucking talking shit. And then the reporter was like, "Who started?" And he's like, "I don't care who started out. I finished it. I won." And then Jair Alexander's like, "I won." I'm like, "Get the fuck out of here. You're on a sorry ass Packer team. One of the best corners just on this team that just fucking just not looking good." And he got toasted. I needed one more reception for Stephon Diggs so I could win some money. Sold on me. But he got 6 and 100 yards and a touchdown. So I should just bet on this fucking touchdown. But that's just my fucking personal problem. But go on.
The Green Bay ended up with more total yards than the Bills. And you would have thought that would have come away with a victory in this, if you think about it like that. Aaron Jones had 143 yards. AJ Dillon had 54 on 10 carries. This is just such a limited team. Like, you just see how much passing game means so much. The running game needs to be there for some of these teams, but just to open up the passing game and keep things balanced, and just nothing is there. And then just to see Aaron Rodgers and them like smiling on the sidelines sometimes kind of irks me, especially after these blowouts, especially how the way Aaron Rodgers be acting sometimes. But the Bills improved to 6-1, and they're a force.
I do like the Packers run game. They do need to establish that more. I feel like every time I watched the Green Bay Packers drive, it was a fucking run play, which irks me too as well. But if you got one of the 1-2 punch in the best 1-2 punch in the league, they need to utilize that. But you got to utilize play action. You got to trust those receivers, and the trust is just not there. They're rookies, inexperienced, and you know they just got to work on that. I don't think they'll get better though.
okay.
Yeah, Davante Adams left. He left a Mercedes for a fucking 2001 Geo Prism, and you youngins probably don't know what fucking car that is. I know because I had it. All right, moving on. Last game before we get out of here, Raiders getting shut out by the Saints. Raiders are a bunch of fucking clowns. Let me tell you why. I can probably say that every fucking week. Josh Jacobs is having an amazing year, contract year, because they didn't accept his fifth option, right?
Thank you.
Then they had the audacity to post on their Instagram him starting to get cringe. We get it. It's like the gritty, just fucking stop, make something else up. This shit's fucking cringe. I'm him, get it, whatever. So they tweet, or they message him that he's him, and okay, then why he's him but he's not him enough to get you a fifth year contract extension. So I was just like, you guys fucking suck at posting shit, like come on. Saints though, God damn, dude, they were shutting shit down. Davante Adams looks I can say this every week, looks verbally just unhappy.
One reception for 3 yards. What the fuck?
One reception. They shut that shit down. Every pass to him was, he was getting pressured and then throw it out of bounds, and you just see Davante Adams just pissed. And yeah, no shit. You left a Mercedes for a Geo. Not going to work. And that college chemistry, man, that was a long time ago. So
yeah.
I say that. Davante Adams, whatever car Derek Carr bought you, return that shit. Find a new home. You don't want to stay in Vegas. Don't stay in Vegas. Don't get a DUI. Don't get a charge. You already almost had a charge. Come on, save your career. Go somewhere else.
Only a couple thoughts for me in this game. Just one for the Raiders. How does Josh Jacobs, after what he's been doing these past couple weeks, only get 10 carries on the ground? There's no way that this game got that out of hand.
It got out of hand.
Well, there's no way he got that out of hand that early, where he just cannot be in a part of your. Just eliminated from your playbook and your game plan like that. You saw how you've won with him, and he's been the catalyst for this offense. There's no going back from that. I don't care. Like, stick with it. Stick with your guns. This game stayed, 24-0 for the longest time. It was 24-0 early in the third quarter, okay? That is ridiculous to see only 10 carries like that. I mean, and dude, this is coming from a Chargers fan wanting to see, like, good product of football. I mean, that is just ridiculous. Yeah. And then for the Saints, Alvin Kamara is completely unlocked. When are we going to get this offense completely on board, like healthy at the same time? I have no idea when Michael Thomas is ever going to come back. But if he does, and he just...
I've accepted the fact that Michael Thomas is probably... Michael Thomas is going to fade away like Julio Jones is, you know?
He's gonna come back sad.
And catch a touchdown, you know?
That's sad to think about, yeah.
It is what it is. Chris Olave is there, bro. Who the fuck cares about Mike Thomas?
Well, I'm just saying,
I get it, though.
That makes this offense wholly completely different. You know, it takes a different level because if you haven't really got Kamara games like this, and he used to do this week in and week out. It was just such an impressive showing that if you just have one more guy like that, this team could look really good. And Andy Dalton looks solid. So that's just my last thought. Like, this could have been another, like, turning point for another team here, and yet we're still feel like we're in limbo, because how often can Kamara do this?
Yeah, the Raiders fall to 2-5. Saints fall to 3-5, but in a division where the Falcons are in first place, they actually have a chance. Raiders slipping hard. And, like, the Chargers had a bye, so I couldn't be sad if we lost. And the Raiders lost, so, like, I was fucking
on. Chargers had a bye at the same amount of points as the Raiders. Feels good.
There you go. Yeah, I was fucking cruising on a good one. My only thought on this one, Jameis Winston was healthy, and they went with Andy Dalton. Good choice. Jameis Winston took it like a champ, cheering his teammates on. It was wholesome. He's a wholesome dude. I know I talk a lot of shit about him. He's like a funnier version of cringe of Russell Wilson. Like, he's just like a...
Yeah,
he's like funnier and does cringe shit, but like not on national television on a Subway sandwich, which makes me never want to eat Subway, which you should never eat Subway. It's dog shit. Don't put your body.
You said that you eat it when you're drunk.
Huh?
You said that you eat it when you're drunk.
Yeah, because I don't know better.
But you just said never to eat it.
Don't eat it sober. Anyways, Jameis Winston was cheering on his team. Looks like that could get turned around, but especially, like I said, in a division where the Falcons are 4-4, you're only a game back. So maybe they could turn around. Kamara, dude, looked good. And Olave, solid. Need some other guys to step up. Maybe just have Michael Thomas as a distraction. Have him limping. Fuck it. He ain't going to catch it. Just have him limping on the field. I mean, get him out there. But maybe that's the last time we'll see him. I don't know. Going to fade out. But yeah, those are all the games.
All the good ones, probably.
Yes, all the good ones.
David, where can we find you on social media?
Sports Guy David, all social media outlet. I do a fantasy podcast. Teetering Thursday and Friday. Usually Friday. We don't even talk about the Thursday night game. Usually Thursday night games are really boring. So if it's a boring-ass game, we'll hop on after the game because it's more entertaining than the actual game. Or hop on the podcast because it's more entertaining than the game. Sports Guy David on everything.
Follow me on Twitter @SugarFreeLucas. Make sure you follow Tough Podcast, all social medias, Tough Fantasy, and tough Chargers and fear Chargers fan links are in the description. So for David, for me, y'all have a wonderful night or a wonderful day. We'll see you guys next time.
We are out.